Hello, you're very welcome to Inside the Studio. This is episode 4 today, and some interesting things we're going to be talking about today. We're going to talk about Skype, how to get Skype set up on your podcast, how to get going with Skype. We won't be going into Skype video today, just Skype audio. And I'll be talking about my setup for Skype, how I use Skype, and what is my setup for Skype. It's probably not the ideal setup, but it's definitely one that you can do. It's definitely a very possible way of doing it, if I want to put it that way. We'll also be talking about getting your audio file ready for the web, how to encode it, what steps to go through, and we'll be talking about recording your podcast with Audacity and the free open source program that allows you to record and edit your audio podcast. Okay, so right, let's get kicked off today with a little bit of Skype calls in your podcast. So maybe you've never heard of Skype before, so I'll explain what Skype is to start off with. Well, Skype is a free program that you can install on Mac, Linux, or Windows, and it allows you to have video or audio conversations from one person to another. You can also have conferences with Skype. You can add multiple people to one call, the problem with that is you can only, if you have the free version of Skype, you can only do audio conferencing. If you have at least one person who has paid for Skype in the call, you can do a video conference. So that's cool. And it's actually a VoIP service, a VoIP service, which is voice over IP service. And so what can you use Skype for? Well, if you have co-hosts or guests that you want to bring on a show, but they're not able to get to the studio for whatever reason, maybe they're in a different country or in a different area and they can't travel to your studio, Skype is a great free solution to that. And it's just brilliant because it has allowed me to bring people on my shows that I wouldn't have been able to bring on otherwise. I had Steve Lee over from California in America on from Skype, and it went really well. I also had on Midweek Tech, I had a co-host who Skyped in. He was pretty close, but he wasn't like he couldn't go every single week to my house where I record the show. So pretty much, you know, I think Skype is a really great service, and it allows you to do a lot of things. A lot of people, you can have a lot of people on your show that you may not have been able to have on before. So now the question is, what do you need to get Skype set up on your podcast? What kind of equipment do you need? Well, first of all, you need a computer, because you need a computer that has Skype on it. That allows you to make Skype calls. And we're going to just strictly talk audio on this show for the time being. So what you need to do then is take an aux send from your mixer into that computer's sound card to be able to send that audio to your Skype, the person on Skype, so that they can hear everything that's going on in the podcast. You can also do it where you just set a normal microphone and set it down on the table and it'll record your voice. But really, the ideal thing to do is so that they can get, they can hear the intro music, they can hear exactly what you're recording, you want to send an output directly from their mixer or from your mixer. That's exactly what you want to do, okay? And you have to send an aux send. So I talked about this in the last episode and why you want to do that. An aux send is basically sending everything in the mix but their channel, or their input channel. So what you then want to do is take the output from the computer sound card, bring it into your mixer. Now, I was talking about this, you need a 3.5 millimeter 1/4-inch cable. You can also get adapters to do this, such as this long string of adapters that I've got, which has actually gotten shorter because because I have actually used a few of these. This is the 3.5mm to 1/4-inch adapters, and the reason why you need these is because your mixer only has 1/4-inch and XLR inputs. So if you and your computer sound card output is the 3.5mm, so you need to be able to adjust that. But the best thing about audio is these kind of connectors are very cheap. You can get them for less than a euro each, which is really, really good. Whereas when it comes to video, if you need anything to convert, it costs a lot of money, especially if it's going from analog to digital. So that's what you're going to need to take the output of your computer into your mixer, okay? Then what you do is you leave that channel out of your aux send or your aux output, auxiliary output, on your mixer when you're sending it back in, okay? Now that's one way of doing it. But that's how you get one guest in or one co-host in on your show, okay? Now, there is a way of doing it without a mixer, but I'm going to recommend that you don't do that. And the straight reason why is because it gets confusing, it gets complicated. Go out and buy a mixer. You can get a good mixer for 40 euro, right? Well, not a good mixer. You can get a mixer for 40 euro, which will do the job for Skype that you need, right? You can get a good, or you can get one with 12 channels on it, 8 channels on it, for about 60 euro, okay? It won't be a good quality mixer, but you will be able to do it, right? And that is definitely the best way to go, is to do it that way. Get yourself a mixer. If you have multiple hosts, guests, anything, my recommendation is just go get a mixer. It makes your life so much easier. Believe me, I went through trying to get away without a mixer for a very long time, and it just doesn't work. So you definitely want to go ahead and get a mixer, okay? So that's what you're going to need. Computer, mixer. That's fairly straightforward, right? Now, what if you wanted to have multiple Skype guests in? And my setup allows me to do 4 Skypes, even more, if I want to. But yeah, it allows me to do pretty much 4 Skype guests or co-hosts in on the show. Well, there's a number of ways you can do this. Number one, you can do a Skype conference. So using the same computer, you can do a Skype conference, okay? And a Skype conference will allow you to take in multiple people into one Skype call. The problem with that is you can't manually adjust the level of your guests or co-hosts, we'll just say guests, your Skype callers' volume. So let's say two people call in to a conference. You cannot control their volumes individually. Whereas if it's just one person, you can adjust their volume, okay? And the problem with this is one person might be quieter than the other. So you get inconsistencies. And this is, you know, it's very, very difficult to count that. My setup is, and I'll talk about it, actually has a way of countering that because I'm running multiple instances of Skype. So the second solution is get multiple computers. Run one instance of Skype on each computer, and, you know, that will... You take the outputs from each computer into your mixer. You send the aux sends. But the problem with that is you're going to have multiple aux sends, one for each computer. My mixer has 4 aux sends, and it has 4 subgroups. So technically, I could use subgroups as aux sends as well, okay? But it has 4 aux sends on it. So I can have 4 separate computers, 4 separate Skype calls, and send an aux send to them, okay? Now, the third option is to run multiple instances of Skype on one computer. Now, there's ways of doing this on both Mac and PC. I'll talk about the PC first. Now, with the PC, actually, you know what you should do is just look it up on the web. There's an official statement from Skype explaining how you can do this. On Windows, it's very, very easy. You just rename them, right? You rename the different instances of Skype, and you can have, you can just open as many instances of Skype as you, as your computer can take, okay? And then you can run multiple calls separately. Now, you might be thinking, okay, but how are you going to be able to control the volume individually of every Skype call? Well, if you're running Windows 7 or Windows 8, there is a feature on it which allows you to have an audio mixer. And this allows you to individually control the volume of every program on that's running on your system. So if you have multiple instances of Skype, each instance of Skype would come up and you'd be able to manually adjust their audio. And this gets rid of the issue of not being able to adjust each person's audio individually. You can do this if you're running Windows 7. If you're running Windows XP, you cannot do that. But if you're running Windows 7 or up, which I recommend you do, then you will have the audio mixer option. You're also going to want to, if you're running multiple instances of Skype, you're probably going to want to have a beefy computer to do that. My computer has 4 gigabytes of RAM that I'm doing this on, 4 gigabytes of RAM and a quad-core AMD processor. You could probably get away with less. I have done it on a Mac Mini, which I'll talk about now. Well, on the Mac, it's a little bit different. Okay, there's actually, if you're running macOS Lion or up, which I recommend you do. I have not upgraded any of my computers to Mountain Lion. I'm still running on Lion. But you can actually install a program. I'll give you the name of it now. I don't have it on this computer. I have it on the other computer here. It's called Skype Launch. Skype Launcher, okay? And what this will do is this will just, every time you click on the Skype Launcher icon, it'll launch a new instance of Skype. And this automatically does it for you. But you can actually manually create separate instances of Skype. And I did this on a Mac Mini because the Mac Mini I had did not support, not only did it not support Lion, it didn't support Snow Leopard. It was still on Leopard. And the reason why is because it didn't support 64-bit architecture. And all Mac OS operating systems versions from Snow Leopard onwards were 64-bit. This computer had an Intel Solo processor anyway. It was 1.4 gigahertz and 512 megabytes of RAM, and it ran 4 instances of Skype, no problem. Okay? And it worked. But you have to manually, and if you look up Skype on the Skype forums, they have a solution to this and how to set up multiple instances of Skype manually on the Mac. If you're running a Mac computer that isn't running Mountain Lion, sorry, I can't speak today, but if you're running a system that is not running Lion or Mountain Lion, and you want to do it manually, well, then check that up as well. Okay, the solutions are all on the web. If you really want me to do a tutorial on it, I will do a tutorial on it, no problem. But I'm not prepared to do it today. So that is that. Okay. Now you might be wondering, okay, but how are you going to get multiple aux sends to each Skype guest? Well, believe it or not, I am not doing an aux send. I am sending a direct output from the mixer with their channel into Skype, okay? And you might be thinking now, well, Michael, in the last episode you said, but they will be getting feedback delayed of their voice. Well, actually, Skype has really, really good audio cancelling, really good audio cancelling, right? So what it'll do is, well, what it's designed for, first of all, is people who are using the built-in microphones and the speakers on their laptops. So what happens is the microphone will pick up the sound from the speakers and relay it back in to the other person on the other end of Skype. Skype can cancel that out. It has a really great solution to canceling that out. But if you're actually, if you're sending their sound back, Skype will detect that sound. And because it's even clearer, that because you're sending a direct output of their sound, it will completely cut out, cancel out their sound, return sound. And it works really well. I have never had one person ever complain about audio sound coming back delayed. There has never been one person who has complained about that. So it works really well. It works really well. So, but that's one way of doing it. And look, I wouldn't recommend doing it, even though I am doing it. I wouldn't recommend that you do it, right? But it's definitely possible if you're on a budget, which I am. But if you have a little bit of extra money, you can actually get USB sound cards. So these are sound cards that have, you know, your headphone jack and your microphone jack, right? And what you do is you plug their USB and you plug them into your USB ports in your computer. And what you can do is it's just your computer sees them as individual USB sound cards. You select on that Skype instance, you select that USB sound card as your input and that USB sound card as your output, and you select those individual inputs and outputs and bring them into your mixer. That's another way of doing it if you want to get your aux sends. And this is going to be the way I will be doing it. I'll be upgrading very slowly. This solution is working for me at the moment, so I don't feel the need to go and get these extra sound cards. There's more important things for me to get in the studio before I go ahead and get these extra sound cards. This will be later on. But they can be like $20, 15 euro, about that. So they can be very, very cheap. You can get them very reasonably on Amazon or wherever, but it's not a necessity, okay? But they'll definitely say no. That's not the way to go. But I'm telling you, it actually works. I wouldn't recommend it, but it works, right? So there's a number of different ways of getting multiple Skype guests. But could you imagine trying to get video on four guests? Video gets a lot more complicated, and that's why I'm not going to go into it today. I'm actually going to, when I'm further into inside the studio, when I'm talking about video, I'll explain how to do Skype video. But that's pretty much it. That's how you get multiple Skype guests. Now, what about my setup? I've got a single computer, a single Windows computer. I've got two Windows desktops on here now. My old one, which I used to use, and that's actually handling Skype now. I've got my new one, which is handling all of everything else. So it's recording my podcast right now, and it's also streaming my podcast. And so my Skype machine, which is my old desktop computer, is running four instances of Skype, right? So I can have up to four guests. I am sending an output of that into the mixer and an output of the mixer into the Skype computer, and it's doing all the canceling out, and I can manually adjust all the levels on each Skype instance. That's how I'm running it. Then I take an output, the USB output of the mixer, feed it into my new desktop computer for recording. That's what I do. And I'll get into loads more detail about my entire setup later on, once I've covered video, and I'll talk about my video setup as well, what I do to get my video set up, how I do this lower third with the transition and that kind of thing. It's not that hard to do, but we just have to, like, the audio is the most important thing. You can see here I've got this nice microphone, the Samsung Q2U. I've got this nice boom arm, and it doesn't necessarily. Wow, I can't speak today. I apologize. I'm really tired. But it doesn't necessarily, I'm not going to even try to say that word. But it doesn't look that nice on screen, okay? But it doesn't. But if it gives you really good audio, then there's no, like, I've tried I have this lavalier microphone right here. Let me see if I can. There we go. And this is a wireless pack. It's on. It's a nice little lav. If this will focus there for me. So this works. I tried it on a lot of my videos. I tried it on the Christmas special of Talks About Tech Weekly. The issue with this is it doesn't sound very good. This microphone in particular. There's not a lot of bass, and it picks up loads of room noise. It picks up loads of noise, excess noise. It's not very bassy. It picks up a lot of echo, right? This is the problem. Whereas this microphone does not pick up. You can't hear any noise. It just sounds like a clean, clear sounding microphone. Well, that is due partially down to the gate I'm running. This microphone, let's turn off this gate here. This is what the room actually sounds like. So it is actually picking up a lot more of the room noise, as you can hear. This is actually turning off compression as well, so it's actually going to sound a bit different. And this is running with the compressor and with the gate on. Now you can hear that I'm not running a lot of compression. So that's that. But anyway, I kind of got a bit off topic there. But that's really my setup. That's really what my Skype setup is, and that's what it allows me to do. And that's all you have to do to get four. I recommend four. Don't go more than four guests anyway. On a show, it might get a bit chaotic, but that's what it takes to get four Skype guests on. I'm doing it really cheap. I have one computer and one sound card, and it works. So, but it is a pretty beefy computer. It's not that beefy, but it's powerful enough. And it works. So I recommend going that route. If you're on a budget, and of course, if you can buy four computers to do the Skype stuff, then by all means, go ahead and do it. But really, there is no need if you're on a budget. Okay, let's move on to part two of the show, which is going to be talking about getting your recorded file ready for the web. So let's say you recorded your show using your new Samsung Q2U microphone into your mixer or through the USB. You had a pop filter on it, and you recorded using Audacity, which I will be going through later on in the show. You recorded it using Audacity or your program, and you know you've got a co-host in studio and a guest on Skype, and the show's all recorded with your intro, your outro music, everything, right? How do you get that show ready to put on the web, to put up onto your website, onto Libsyn or whatever solution you've got? Well, if you've recorded using Audacity, what it'll do is it'll save the file as a WAV file, okay? And then what you want to do is take the file into your audio editing program. If you've recorded it using a recorder, it'll probably record it to a WAV file as well, because it's a lossless file format, which means it's a really, really high quality file format. And what tends to happen is as you edit the audio, it begins to lose quality, okay? But with a WAV file, it's such high quality that the editing won't have much effect on the actual quality of the audio. So that's why most people record to a WAV file, .wav file format. And then you edit your audio. Now, this is something I have actually just recently discovered. is editing your audio. There are a few steps that you might want to go through when you're editing your audio. What I actually do is during the show, if I make a mistake, I write down the time in which the general time in which it has happened, okay? And I write it down. But most of the time, I actually don't make any edits. You know that mess up that I a few minutes back that I made? Well, I'm not going to edit that out because it kind of, to me, it upsets the flow of the podcast. It upsets the entire flow and it doesn't make it sound natural if you're editing out every and every right? So I feel that only if I do a complete mess up, even if I do, if I say something that might get me in trouble, I'll edit it out, okay? But for the most part, I won't edit it out. And when I do, I'll write it down as the show is going along. And let's say I have multiple edits. Well, the problem with this is, you're going through and you say, okay, there's where I want to make my edit, and there's edit one, okay? You edit that out, and then you say, okay, let's go to the second edit. Well, the problem is, the second edit will not be where you actually wrote down it's going to be, because you've already made an edit. Let's say you made an edit of 2 minutes. The second edit point is going to be 2 minutes. There's going to be a 2 minute difference in position of where you're meant to make the second edit, right? So what you want to do is edit backwards. Edit the last edit first and the first edit last, because it's only going to affect the time for the show, the rest of the whatever you've of your recording after, right? So after the edit, not before the edit, only after the edit. So what you do is you edit backwards to prevent that from happening and prevent confusion, right? So that's what you do. You edit backwards if you're doing it that way. That's probably the best way, and that applies for video editing as well. Just edit backwards, okay? So that's what I recommend, okay? And then what you can do is when you're, as part of your editing, you can put in your compression, put in all your effects and all that. Look, be honest with you, I don't do that. A lot of people like to put in post-production compression, post-production audio enhancements, and dynamic effects. I don't like doing that. Because I want to get the cleanest sound I possibly can. I'll do a little bit of compression myself live using my compressor. And I also do a live gate. That's all I do. And I do my editing and I put it out, okay? But you can, and I will be in the next episode going over compression, which is going to be fun. Because compression can be a very complicated process, especially if you go into multi-band compression. It can be a very complicated process. But you can definitely, and I have absolutely ruined sound from putting compression on, and I didn't know what the hell I was doing. Just pressed a load of buttons and said, cool, hopefully that'll work. But that doesn't work. But once you're finished your editing, what you want to do then is export it as an MP3 file. The reason why you want to export your audio as an MP3 file is because MP3 is supported by pretty much every device, supported by Windows. So Windows computers will be able to play an MP3 file using Windows Media Player. Macs will also be able to play MP3 files using QuickTime or whatever program you're using on the Mac. And also, iPhones will play MP3 files. iTunes supports MP3 files. Android phones support MP3 files. Every device supports MP3 playback. And that's why we export it as MP3. You can also export it as an AAC file. But the problem with that is AAC is not supported by all devices. It might be higher quality, but it is not, it's not supported by all devices. Now, MP3 is a highly compressed file format, which means that you're going to get reasonably high quality, but the file sizes are going to be small, which is great for it's great. Sorry, It's great if you want to save a little bit of storage on your Libsyn account or whatever. MP3 is just great. So, it just is great. And it's compatible, as I said, with pretty much every device. Now, the quality-wise, I wouldn't recommend you record to an MP3 and then bring it into your editing program, because you're just going to lose even more and more quality. What you want to do is record to a WAV and then edit. That's the best way of doing it. Okay, so now I'm going to go into the last section of this podcast, which is going to be recording your podcast with Audacity. Okay? I've just put together a video on how you can record your podcast using Audacity and then do your editing and exporting and whatever. So enjoy this last part of the show, and I'm just going to bring up the video for you now. Running the executable file on the Mac, you've dragged the application into the applications folder, as you do with many applications. And then you also want to install the LAME MP3 encoder for Windows or for Mac, depending on. Now, you can, again, it's just a very simple exe executable file that you. Okay, guys, so the first thing you want to do is download Audacity. Go to audacity.sourceforge.net. and download the version for Mac or Windows. It'll automatically detect it, and you very simply download it, and it's completely free. So it's really, really, and it's very, very easy download, install. I'm using Windows on this computer here, and it's just simply, very simply running the executable file on the Mac. You very simply drag the application into the applications folder, as you do with many applications. And then you also want to install the LAME MP3 encoder for Windows or for Mac, depending on. Now, you can, again, it's just a very simple exe executable file that you use to install it. And very, very easy. Now, this will allow you to export the audio file that you've recorded in Audacity to an MP3, because what Audacity will do is it will actually save it as a WAV file, and that's a very high quality, low compression file type. And this is just a really, really good way. It's a very, very good format, but unfortunately it does not allow you directly from Audacity to export it to an MP3. Which is what you're going to want to save your file as if you want to upload it to the internet or to your site or to Libsyn or wherever. So it's very important that you export it as an MP3. Now, there's a number of ways you can do this, but the LAME encoder, it's a plugin for Audacity that allows you to export it directly from Audacity. Now, you can also use iTunes to convert the WAV file to an MP3, but I won't go into it in this. I'll just explain how to use the LAME encoder. You can also use any other converter program. I think even Adobe Media Encoder will allow you to convert a WAV to an MP3. There's many different ways, but I think the LAME encoder is the most straightforward way to do it. You can probably get better results using different programs, and I think iTunes does give you a lot of features there. So let's go ahead. When you boot up Audacity, this is what you actually get right here. So it's actually quite a simple layout, okay? Here's where your recording will go, where you see the waveform for editing. So I'm just going to click record here, and you can see that now the audio is recording. Now you get visual VU meters right up there on the bar right there. This tells you how loud your recording is. You do not want to be hitting that 0 dB level, because that means your recording will be clipping, and that it just will not sound very good. When you're finished recording, you can press the stop button and it'll just finish your recording. You can see here that the meter, that the levels are coming out here, and you can see it visually as it updates. Okay, so let's finish that now. And you can see that we have recorded about 39 seconds, okay, worth of stuff, and it's in the stereo format. You can obviously pan it left or right if you wish to, if you want to do that in your stereo. But really, for podcasting, you do not want to mess around with this. You want to get the cleanest sound you can possibly get. Now, you can add gain onto this. If you think this is too quiet, you can add a bit of gain on. But do remember that if you add in, if you record at a very low level and put in the maximum amount of gain you possibly can, which is 36 dB, you probably won't want to do that. You will get a lot of noise, because all recording appliances generate noise. But so you don't want to be amplifying that noise, and that's what it will do. So you can see here that we just recorded in stereo. You can also record in mono. That's what I normally do. I actually just record in mono because I feel there's no need for me to record in stereo. So obviously you can play that back and do whatever you like there, and it'll give you the playback levels, also your output level, and that's your input level. So let's say you wanted, let's just click on this here, select this. Let's say you wanted to take this bit out of here. Now, first of all, you can see exactly where my voice starts and where my voice ends. So it's very easy to get the in and out points. And of course, you can always adjust this slightly if you want to do that. And then you just very simply press the delete button, and that will delete it out of there. Okay, now there are lots of different effects you can put on here. Okay, so let's select the entire clip. You can equalize this. So if you hear this kind of really bad humming or buzzing noise in your recording, you can probably guess what frequency it's at, and you can decrease that frequency. Now, I recommend, you can actually destroy your audio. If it sounds okay to you, if it sounds listenable to you, I wouldn't go messing with it. If you do not understand what any of these things do, or want to change, you can definitely have the potential to ruin the sound of your audio. So, you know, we've got compressors in here. Now, I recommend that you actually use Chris's dynamic compressor. You can download this also, and you very simply drag it into, if you go to your program files, let me bring this in here, program files in your, in here, and you go to Audacity plugins, you drag, I think, yeah, compress.ny, that file, into the plugins, plugins folder, and you get, the Chris's, the compressed dynamics option in here as well. And this will allow you to add in a nice dynamic compressor in here. Now, there's so many different things that you can do here, so many effects. I will be covering how to set the compressors, what a threshold is, what a noise floor is, what a ratio is, attack and decay times are. I'll explain all of that in probably the next episode of Inside the Studio. But you can see here, you can do fades if you want. You can see that this is a very, very slow fade, but you can adjust that fade as well if you wish to do that. What you do, if you want to, what you want to do is you select the area you want to do the fade in, and you select fade in. Oops, sorry. Select fade in, and that'll do the fade in there. Now, if we... Right, we've done the fade in right there. Now let's just undo that. I mean, there's so much stuff you can mess around with. Noise removal. Now, I'll tell you something about noise removal. If you have a lot of noise in your, and I've heard people doing this, especially at the latest CES coverage, they use noise removal to get rid of all that background noise. It actually adds a lot of awful sound to your, to, it sounds kind of robotic. If you use the noise removal tools, and that's just the way that it works. Especially if you're using a lot of noise removal. If you're just using a little bit, you probably won't notice it. But again, if you don't know anything about this stuff, you can potentially ruin your audio sound. So I recommend that you don't mess with this stuff for the moment. And in the in probably in the next episode, I'll go over compression, compression in general, and then I'll also go over compression in Audacity, and how you can do that in software and post-production. But this is just, you know, an overview of how to use Audacity. Pretty much what you do is you take your clip. If you need to do any editing, you can very easily delete the parts that you don't want. If you want to do a fade in, you can do a fade in. That's pretty much the basic stuff that you want to do in your editing, very basic editing. And then what you want to do is select the entire clip, go to export, and then what you can do is you can select the what you want to save it as, and you can see we've got our MP3 here. This is using our MP3 encoder, LAME encoder for MP3. You save it as whatever you want to do. You can actually go into the options for your MP3 and set it. So probably I'd say 96 or 128 kilobits per second is very good quality. And I think that would definitely be more than enough for you. You don't need to go to 320 kilobits per second. If you're doing music, you might want to do 320 kilobits per second. But really, for a podcast, the max you're going to need is 128 kilobits per second. Really, you can get away with 98, and you save, or 96, and you save yourself a bit of space on your server, which is always good. Now you can see here that you've got variables, average, or constant. I just recommend you go with constant. You can do a variable bitrate, which will it'll change as it goes along. Really, just go with a constant bitrate is fine, and then save the files, whatever you want, and then you can upload it like that. You can also save the project, obviously. It saves it as an AUP file, if you want to do that, and also you can obviously save it as a WAV file too. So WAV files are very, very high quality. So that's just my overview of Audacity. I hope this helped you out a little bit to understand how to use Audacity, because, you know, the interface, the interface is maybe a little bit difficult to get your head around at the beginning, but you have to remember that it is open source, completely free software. And it's just really, really easy to select something. Once you know how to do it, you can make fine adjustments to by using this little tool like that. And then you just very simply delete fade-ins. I mean, the amount of effects you've got here, it's very, very good. Now, I use Audition, and I'll be going through a tutorial on how to the basics of Audition in the future. But I hope this helped you to get editing and get exporting your files once you've finished creating your podcast. Okay, so I hope that that video there helped you out, and that pretty much ends this episode of Inside the Studio for this week. Apologize for my stuttering and lack of concentration, but you know, when you're in pain, it can be hard to concentrate. But I'd just like to thank everybody for watching this episode, or watching or listening to this episode of Inside the Studio. You can contact me on Twitter @talksabouttech if you wish. You can also email me at michael@talksabouttech.com. Watch this show live every Tuesday at 8 o'clock, or sometime around 8 o'clock. It normally starts a little bit after 8 o'clock. But you know, be there at about 7:45, and you shouldn't miss the show. Or shouldn't miss the beginning of the show. And also check out my other podcast, Talks About Tech Weekly, which is a weekly tech podcast recorded every Saturday at 8 p.m. GMT also. So I'd just like to thank you again, guys, for watching this podcast, and I'll see you next time.